And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, proudly sponsored by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Happy Friday morning to everyone. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
Great. Hope we got more Chargers on primetime this year. That'd be super. My goodness.
Bring me more. Nick Keyser, how are you?
I'm doing great. That game was so bad, I went bowling.
How did you bowl?
Not bad. Had about three strikes.
Attaboy.
So, like, you actually were sitting down to watch the game, and then you're like, and then you went left the house and went to bowl?
Kind of.
As a response to the game?
I was watching the game with my family after dinner. I had some buddies go, hey, this game sucks. Do you want to go bowl? Sure, why not? And Kristen, my fiance,
I like that. YOLO,
won,
man. YOLO.
And Kristen won 1,800 tickets at the same place while we were bowling, and I was like, what? Wow. She hit the jackpot on something. I was like, whoa.
It's a big night. Big
like
night
ski ball?
In the Keyser family.
It was not skee ball. It was some sort of game where it was you press a button and a ball will drop, and then you will land on a random spot. And she said she got the monster jackpot. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
It's the monster jackpot, man. Good for her.
That and you, that's a big win this year for her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is. How about those Chargers last night, Joe? At one point, they were down. I believe it was 42-0 at halftime. The Raiders score again, so you're down 49-0. The final score ends up being 63-21. A really impressive showing from the Chargers last night. Look, I don't know. You know, and people were talking about this. Maybe Justin Herbert should win the MVP if that's what they look like without Justin Herbert last night. But my goodness, 63-21, the final score. And Joe, I would have to imagine, and there, you know, obviously he's been a dead man walking, I think, the whole year in terms of his job status. But when it's that bad, like it was last night, I have to imagine that today's probably the day that Brandon Staley gets shown the door.
Yeah, unless it's just that Dean Spanos, it just, you know, against his philosophy to ever do anything in season. But yeah, I think when you see a team perform like that, it's kind of like, okay, you know, like you got to change something up. Everybody knows what's happening anyway. I mean, Brandon Staley got asked, you know, he got asked if he thinks he should be the coach today.
Yeah.
He's like, yes. Well, good for him. He answered yes, but yeah, that's where things are. So it's just a matter of, you know, some people don't believe in doing that. But I'd say if you would ever allow yourself to do that, this is probably one of those situations where it's probably better for everybody.
The Raiders, I believe, were shut out last week. Is that correct? 3-0 to the Vikings?
Yes, they lost 3-0 to the Vikings. They had not scored a touchdown in 20-some possessions, and then they all of a sudden put 63 up. Yeah.
That's not good. Not very good there. So I would assume that's probably the end of the line for Brandon Staley. We'll wait and see. What a disappointing year for them. I mean, I talked about heading into the season how it's impossible for me to trust them with the head coach, but I thought they'd at least be like close to making the playoffs, and they are just total garbage. And not, you know, last night's game notwithstanding, they weren't good even with Justin Herbert as their quarterback. It's been just a total mess with that roster.
Yeah, look, and I think we've talked, like anybody around the NFL for a few years now has talked about, man, that is one of the best rosters and all that stuff. You know, I do think that may be a little bit overrated, you know, a little bit older on D and things like that. You know, they've got some holes. And Herbert, I still think that's going to be an attractive job to a lot of people because Justin Herbert is very talented. And, you know, a lot of coaches are going to look at him and say, yeah, I can, you know, I can make something happen there. But I think that was, I'm still, the jury's out on him too. You know, it's not his fault. Some of these things going on around him, but it's, I mean, look, you think back, they're just absolutely throttling the Jaguars on the road in the playoffs 11 months ago. And it's like they never recovered from that, from blowing that game.
Yeah, it really is. So We'll see what ends up happening with the Chargers front, but what a game last night. The Raiders just absolutely smoke the Chargers. 63-21 ended up being the final score. That means we've had a game where a team has scored 70 this year and a game where a team has scored 63. You don't see that happen every year in the NFL.
And a couple that went 0-0 way into them.
There is that.
And a 3-0 final. So
there is also that. What a league. What a league. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Jared Stillman will join us at 6:30. We'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for his weekly visit, usually on Thursdays at 8 o'clock. Today, 7 to 7:30 on the program. Teron Davenport will join us at 8. So we got a whole lot to get to. And we start on the Titans, Joe, with Will Levis. Can he replicate what he did against the Dolphins? Can he build on what he did against the Dolphins? And I agree with what we were talking about the other day with Kuharsky. You know, if Will Levis goes on to have a really good career here with the Titans, I think nationally a lot of people are going to view the Monday night game against the Dolphins as maybe a game where he was discovered a little bit in terms of just the way that game went down, the 14-point comeback, all those things. And, you know, I think we've seen some signs from Levis prior to the Monday night game that should cause Titans fans to be really encouraged. But Monday night's game was kind of the exclamation point to that, with the way that it went down and the way the Titans won the game and all those things. Now you're taking on a Texans team that looks like they're not going to have CJ Stroud. Titans are actually a 3-point favorite in this game, which we'll get to in the award-winning Pigskin Pick'em segment coming up a little bit later in the program. Can Will Levis continue to build on some of the positives that he's done and continue to make some progress here? That to me is the big question for the Titans heading into Sunday's game. Can Will Levis follow that up? And I'm interested to see what that looks like, particularly with DeAndre Hopkins wearing those nice little Houston Oilers throwback jerseys at home against the Texans. It's going to be fun on Sunday.
Unfortunately, we're not going to get the duel we were hoping for. We can assume we'll get that in a couple weeks with this stupid schedule where division rivals play each other two games that close to each other. So I was really looking. This was the game I had circled. I've had it circled for a while just because of that. It's like, okay, we're not going to get to see Richardson Levis, but we are going to get a couple Stroud Levis matchups. We're not now. I mean, I would be shocked. I don't think that hasn't been officially stated, right?
But it would be very surprising.
Yeah, I think maybe that's happened one time. I thought I heard somebody say that someone who still wasn't available on a Thursday then play. But yeah, pretty much you can count on it not happening. So, but yeah, it's what's the follow up to that? Because that is a game that people are going to look back on, no doubt. And what you hope if you're Tennessee Titans fan is that Will Levis is not Eric Hipple, who in 1981 for the Detroit Lions, who were 2-4, went in. Now he wasn't a rookie, but he was a second year player, and he threw for 336 yards and 4 touchdowns to beat the Bears 48-17. And thankfully that meant the end for Gary Danielson. Well, it didn't mean the end for him, but it basically like created a quarterback controversy. And I'm sorry to bring up this Lions lore for you, but it did come to mind. On a Monday
Seems
night
like
football,
that's quite the impact on you.
Well, I was very much from then on. I was Hipple, Hipple, Hipple. Don't ever let me see Danielson again. 2 years later, what happens? Danielson's back in at quarterback and destroys my birthday. So, I mean, I was right. So now, again, I'm not trying to make Ryan Tannehill be Gary Danielson. There's no controversy here, but I'm just saying. Sometimes those Monday night football incredible performances can be fool's gold. I think with Will Levis, in all seriousness, I think with Will Levis, we're seeing really everything you'd want to see given the circumstances to at least let you know it's going to be a real run here with him to give it a shot. So how does he follow up? The Atlanta game was like this, oh my goodness, Billy Jean's, and he throws 4 touchdowns, and then there was some struggles. More of the struggles were elsewhere with the team, I'd say, but like they had some really bad performances against the Jags and the Bucks. How do they respond to this? They still have some holes, in this lineup against a team that's better than we thought it would be this year.
What would you say as you watch Levis kind of go through this process here and take over as the starting quarterback, what would you say has impressed you the most about his game as you watch him play through the circumstances that we've talked about that are not ideal around him?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Certainly you're welcome. Certainly the arm talent, because here's the thing. I'll go back to camp. Think back to camp, and every year it needs to be, I mean, it is a good reference point. And sometimes it's a reference point. See, we were right. Or sometimes it's like, good Lord, what were we thinking? You know, I don't know about offensive line. The pass rush is so good. You know, oh my God, Treylon Burks looks like an absolute monster out there, you know, but also I think back to the quarterback comparison. Remember, obviously Willis stayed number QB2 ahead of Levis, right? I mean, and Tannehill compared to Willis and Levis, as we've talked about so many times, it was a huge difference. And now I'm seeing Levis do things out there that Tannehill can't do, you know? Yeah. So one thing I would say is, you know, his rate of improvement from August to now, which I think you have to, I mean, I think you have to look at Charles London, right? And say, man, like they've obviously done some good stuff with him. So I think just some of the throws he makes, but then also the personality. I think it's funny how some of this talk, pre-draft talk, has kind of just faded away and it just looks silly now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a young person who goes on Insta or whatever Keezer and his ilk do. What were you guys doing from the bowling alley? Going on Insta, Snapchat,
TikTok
in your best throws, you know, whatever you're doing. The kids do this. People were like hammering him for, like, you know, whatever he did, like throwing the ball through a swing. Oh, personality defect. What? I mean, it's just what young kids do. I never bought that stuff. It was way exaggerated, but I think he's got a really good balance of, like, he's very fiery. I mean, I thought Tim Kelly was hilarious yesterday talking about the Hulk eyes, you know. But I think he also kind of knows his place as a rookie and stuff. I've been very impressed with how he's approached things. He's going to be, as things move forward, whether he's a great player or not, I think he's going to be a good quarterback leader for the Titans.
We are off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More on Will Levis coming up next. Can he build on what we saw on Monday Night Football against the Dolphins when they play the Texans this weekend? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Def Leppard, Journey, and Steve Miller Band at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, July 20th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Def Leppard, Journey, and Steve Miller Band at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, July the 20th. 615-737-1025. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up here in just a few minutes at 6:30. Taking your thoughts right now on Will Levis and the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, you know, look, I don't think the Titans are going to find a way to have a more dramatic game than they did on Monday night. That'd be hard to do based on the circumstances of those guys coming back the way that they did. Now, can Will Levis have a game where, you know, obviously even in the last time out, he had the pick six, he had the misplay between him and Derrick Henry where there was a fumble. You know, can he put together maybe a cleaner performance while also making some of the plays down the field that he and Hopkins have been able to make? And that's the thing that's been, I think, really encouraging. Like the chemistry between he and Hopkins, they've made some plays down the field with an offense right now, Joe, that's set up to really not do that based on the lack of protection that we've seen from the offensive line. He and Hopkins have had some instantaneous chemistry, which I do think speaks well of Levis, like his ability to, you know, get on the same page. And even when they're not on the same page, have the frank conversation sometimes in public that we've seen from them on the sidelines. It's been fun to watch, like the personality take over that way. And, you know, Hopkins, first off, I think everything like off the field from Hopkins and the intangibles and all those things have been really good, even while the Titans have been losing while he's been here. So that's been good to see. But like just the connection that it seems like those two have pretty early in Levis's career, I think it has been vital for the Titans and will be as they move forward.
Yeah, it's been, it's, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I would think, like, if you're in Levis's spot, I mean, like, you got to earn your respect, you know, like, you got to earn the right to go bark at someone if they did something you think was wrong, especially someone as accomplished as him. So, I mean, I think some people might have looked at that at that moment and be like, whoa, you know, easy there, buddy. You know, it was interesting how Hopkins handled it. He didn't really, like, you know, it's not like it turned into a real back and forth. He kind of listened to it and walked away. And then after the game was just like, I mean, he was basically like, cool, you know. But that also, that's got to mean that, like, the, you know, there was kind of like an earning the right is behind the scenes, you know. I mean, just like we've talked about with the coaches, like, you know, you can talk about a coach playing for a coach, coach's voice or whatever, but it's like, if the coach is good and you know the coach knows his stuff, knows what he's talking about, puts in the work and all that stuff, that's how you earn respect. So I imagine that Levis, even just even in film or whatever, like in practice as a running stuff, knowing everything frontward and backward, that earns you. And then obviously being able to perform is a big deal too. Like, you can look great in practice, you can be awesome in film, and then you can stink in a game and it doesn't matter much. But I mean, that to me spoke to, like, Levis kind of quickly earning some credit, you know, with the veterans on this team. And now, you know, like, this week in the locker room, there's been a whole bunch of, like, obviously questions from various people about Levis, you know. And it's like, I mean, I wasn't there for the Arden Key one, but what he's like, oh yeah, he's a dog, and we know he's a dog. I mean, there's a lot of that now in the locker room, you know. That's just the quarterbacks in that position. If your quarterback can back it up and has that kind of fire, I mean, I think that's great for a team.
Chuck on the text line says, I like that Levis has stepped up. Maybe this team actually needed somebody to yell at them. Vrabel's been handling things with kid gloves for too long, Joe. They needed Levis to get in there and start raising his voice a little bit. I like it.
There you go. Hey, Vrabes, step aside, buddy. Next loss, Levis just has him have a seat and starts just screaming at people. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I'm trying to think of other than you know, obviously the one in the Panthers game.
Yeah,
it was a Panthers game, right? Yeah, with Hopkins. There was they definitely had another, and Levis talked about that the other day. It wasn't necessarily like even that Hopkins was wrong. I mean, it's like sometimes I think you just see things differently on a particular coverage or route. No, actually, you got to cut that. But after one of those plays at Miami, Levis did the thing to Hopkins, like, you know, basically like, you got to cut that up. And maybe he was wrong there. I don't know. But I mean, that's what, hey, it's trial and error and it's conversation. You better get on the same page. For the most part, as you see with the production between the two, they are on the same page. But being able to just say it, that's a good thing. And look, I hate to keep bringing up your favorite quarterback of all time, but there's an example of something where, you know, maybe Mariota's kind of like, well, yeah, that's on me. That's my bad. Even if it wasn't, it was actually Kendall Wright's fault, you know?
Saying Marcus should have been a little bit more fiery to Kendall Wright, get on the sideline and pull Kendall Wright aside. Could have made all the difference.
I mean, I threw out a random receiver, but, you know, yeah. I'm not trying to, like, attack Kendall Wright in particular there, but you know what I'm saying.
I do. Got a text that says, Will Levis needs more weapons. I love NWI as much as the next guy, but this offseason we need a new receiver that can get open fast enough to help our offensive line. That's the exciting part, Joe, is Levis has been able to do some of this with a receiving core around him outside of Hopkins. It's not very good. And an offensive line that we know is atrocious. Like, that to me is, like, if you're listing things that you're most encouraged about the Titans moving forward, to me, it's how Levis has played for the most part. It hasn't been perfect, but how he's played, even given the situation around him, it allows your mind to start to wonder, okay, well, surround him with some talent if you feel like is adequate at the NFL level. What does that look like? And what does that mean for kind of how quickly the Titans can get back in this thing and start to compete for divisions again? You know, we've talked about this before. The NFL, you can change things in a hurry, particularly if you figure out the quarterback position. Like, you can go from being not very good to being competitive in your division very quickly if you get the quarterback part figured out.
Well, absolutely. And yeah, I'd like to see, you know, next year there should at least be a step up in his ability to stand in a pocket and have clean pockets. And yes, at least one other key name, accomplished or highly picked or both name, you know, that he's throwing to. And that's, I think the both of those things are necessary. Not easy, but that's got to be a top of the list for, you know, for the Titans in the offseason. Liam McLeod, great name, asks, is Levis better than Tannehill right now? Before you say no, would Tannehill have won that game Monday? I don't know if Tannehill would have won that game Monday. I'm sure Tannehill enjoyed the Dolphins losing, you know, his former team. Is he better than Tannehill? He can do things that Tannehill can do. What do you think, Robbie? I mean, he can do things Tannehill can't do. I think there's some mistakes and maybe some misses and stuff like that that Tannehill you can count on. Probably, you know, gets done as a veteran. Tannehill balls out fast, accurate, all that. There's some throws that Levis makes that Tannehill can't make.
I mean, my answer to that would be yes. I think he is better than Tannehill. I agree that, you know, there probably have been throughout these stretch of games here, a couple of throws that he's missed that Tannehill probably doesn't. Now, there have also been, you know, a handful of throws that he's made, like you said, Joe, that Tannehill can't make. And, you know, it does that even out? I don't know. Like, it's probably close, but to me, like, the fact that it's close right now, I think speaks to your point about what we saw in training camp about how much progress Levis has made, right? Like, if it's close, I think that's a compliment to Will Levis and everything he's been able to do this year.
No doubt. And yeah, exactly. You go back to camp and it's like, man, and now you're looking at it, it's like, oh, I would not have guessed that, excuse me, in August that would be the conversation. But yeah, you're seeing it. The ceiling there, I would say, is a little higher. And yeah, you know, and you know what? I'm gonna give Junie some credit because he was saying that in August. I'm like, man, right now I don't see that. But there is a little bit higher ceiling. And also, as Chuck pointed out in the yelling front, getting for Spears for missing a block, that was another one too. By the way, did you see the Tyjae Spears little audio mic'd up stuff?
I did not see that.
Yeah, check it out. Jimmy White tweeted out. I tell you what, it's impressive, man. He's fun, and he's vocal. I've heard things about him being vocal. You know, you haven't really necessarily seen it, but you watch this, you have a little bit different perspective on Tyjae Spears.
Coming up next, speaking of yelling, we'll be joined by our good friend Jared Stillman. Looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is that time of the week, a little bit of a different time this week, as Rex Road giggles at the Pink Panther music coming back in. Our good friend Jared Stillman joining us now on the program. Normally every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, Jared kind enough today to move up 30 minutes early so we can accommodate Charles Robinson. Jared, welcome to the program. We appreciate you being so kind with us today.
I'm sure you guys have a ton of sympathy for me, but I had to set an alarm for this morning, and I really do not like setting alarms. I'll tell you, waking up with an alarm, I like almost feel sick when I wake up in the morning with an alarm as opposed to, you know, waking up free and easy as I do most mornings. I'm sure most people driving around right now at 6:30 probably do not have any sympathy for me either, but it's good to be on this wonderful radio program.
So do you have like a natural body clock? Have you just wake up at the same time every day? How's that work?
I wake up sometime between 7 and 9 every morning.
Well, that's good.
So that's got to be nice.
It, you know, it depends, you know. Like, so the Monday night football game goes a little late. I stayed up late watching it back so that I could write down all my notes so I wouldn't feel like the anxiety of doing it Tuesday morning. So I wake up around 9 o'clock. If it's like a normal day and I go to bed at like 11:30 or something like that, I wake up around 7.
Good for you.
Flip on my favorite program.
That's right. The Robbie and Rex Road program. Very beautiful stuff. Jared, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Rex Road a few minutes ago, and I'm interested to hear your response. What do you like the most about what you've seen from Will Levis to this point, given everything he's had to work with, maybe more accurately, things he doesn't have to work with on the offensive side of the ball. What have you liked the most from Will Levis?
The talent. I mean, I think that like he's throwing some balls to Nick Westbrook Akine specifically on the sideline that pop up to my mind where they weren't like special super wow throws, like maybe the one to Hopkins on the sideline last week. But it just is such a free and easy across the hash marks, outside the numbers, right in the tight window of a zone, like just right and hitting the guy in the hands. And, I mean, it takes a special kind of somebody to be able to throw that ball. And, I mean, as it is well documented, I do not think much of Tua, especially his talent. I don't think – I mean, I really just don't think Tua is a very special quarterback. And I really would have loved to know after the game. Like, if I had a relationship with Dan Marino, which I do not, but let's use Tannehill as an example. He does. If he was just talking with Dan after the game, said, Dan, what do you think of the two quarterbacks? I would love to know what Marino thinks of Levis's talent, specifically compared to Tua's. So that's the first thing that stands out to me is Levis has extreme talent. And that wasn't totally in question, like, did he have the talent? But it's on display almost every week. And then the second thing is, I mean, he just keeps getting knocked down and getting right back up, whether it's physically because his offensive line is atrocious or whether it's, you know, mentally or figuratively, right? He throws the pick six and he gets right back up. He fumbles the snap with Derrick Henry on that stupid pitch play that Tim Kelly called and he gets right back up. You know, he gets knocked down in the draft and he gets right back up. So I think those two things probably have impressed me the most about Will Levis.
Well, I'm glad we've already introduced your ability to assess talent, which, as we've learned this
week. I'm sorry, Joe. Do you not think that Will Levis has any talent? Who do you think is more naturally gifted at quarterback, Will Levis or Tua?
Yeah, here we go. So, again, it's you go Treylon Burks more talent than A.J. Brown. That's ridiculous. Let's all laugh at you. Oh, you're saying Treylon Burks has no talent? No. No one said that. No one said that.
Who's more talented?
Question now?
Who's more talented? Natural, God-given ability. Tua or Will Levis?
That's a very – Tua as a college quarterback. Now, and I saw him a couple times. Hold on. Just let me answer your question. You can be quiet for a moment. I would say it's the most talented arm I've ever seen from a college quarterback. I've never seen consistent, ridiculous throws like he made in college. I think at times we have seen that in the NFL. I agree that he was bad the other night. I think Tyreek Hill getting knocked out probably threw him off. I think especially if that's within a game and it totally changes your game plan, that's probably not great. He still has to adjust better than he did, and he did look – he just looked like fearful and, you know, ready to be sacked sometimes before it even happened. So he was bad the other night. For you to suggest he sucks – tells me you just never watch him. I mean, the idea that all success he's had in the last couple of years is just because of Tyreek Hill is silly. But to answer your question, I think it's really close. I think it's really close. Very, very different quarterbacks, but I think they both have the talent.
Okay, I hushed long enough. You think Tua was more talented in college than Andrew Luck throwing the football?
Well, I didn't see Andrew Luck in person. I said the people that I actually saw in person. I don't know about that. I mean, Luck was incredible too. I'm saying for my own two eyes, and I've seen. I mean, look, I saw Brady in person. I saw Breeze in person. I mean, I've seen a lot of dudes, and as an old guy, and a lot of them in the Big Ten. Tua is the most talented thrower of the football I've ever seen in college football.
I will say this about Tua coming out in the draft. I never liked Tua. I never did. And I kept thinking when he was coming out.
Well, that means a lot with your talent evaluation skills.
I was like, I mean, hey, I didn't like Tua. The Dolphins invested in him. They tried to get rid of him a year after that. But I never liked Tua.
Flores didn't like him.
I always felt like Tua was propped up by all those. He had, four freaking first-round receivers at Alabama, had all these first-round offensive linemen, got smoked by Clemson in that championship game, though he was playing hurt in the championship game. I just never liked him. He was brittle, you know, because he was always getting hurt in college, whether it was the ankle or the hip or whatever it may be. And he's gone to the NFL. And again, I know that everybody said, look at Tua's stats. And it's that's great. But, I mean, I think when it comes to, like, a big-time January throw, and I don't know if I said this to TD on the air or off the air yesterday, but I'm like, I do not think Tua has the talent to go on the road in January and make the kind of throws that are required of a quarterback to win a Super Bowl when that quarterback is going to be playing either an elite defense or an elite quarterback, and it's going to require those kind of plays that the guys like Mahomes make on a, you know, that's why Mahomes keeps winning these playoff games. Joe Burrow wins these playoff games. I don't think Tua has the ability to make those throws. Whereas I do see with Will Levis, like, I see the ability to make those throws. Will he be able to do that? I don't know. Will he be able to get rid of some of the dumb stuff, you know, or is this going to be like Brett Favre where he just goes out there every Sunday and just chucks the ball down the field? I don't know, but I don't see that talent from Tua. I think Tua is a throw it short and let him run. And I think that the Titans said, all right, we're going to take away the throwing it short. We're going to take away the throwing it deep, you know, inside the numbers. And if you can chuck it outside the numbers and you can throw it, fine. But we don't think you're good enough to do that. And he wasn't on Monday night.
Robbie, can you imagine how excited Jared would be if he saw January Sam Darnold throwing to Treylon Burks?
Ooh,
oh, my
yes.
God. Everybody Sam Darnold just move is out of the way and just hand him the Lombardi.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, Sam Darnold is not a bad quarterback. Like,
Kyle
Sam
Shanahan
Darnold.
Loves him.
Again, your evaluation skills are just on display here.
Well,
Shanahan
I mean,
loves him.
Sam Darnold almost got Carolina back into the playoffs last year single-handedly once Tepper got out of their business. And I was shocked that a team like Atlanta that had, kind of a starter. Like, going into the year, they had said that Desmond Ridder was their guy, and I guess maybe we took them at their word. Like, oh, yeah, Desmond Ridder, he'll be fine. Arthur knows what he's doing. But I was surprised that a team like Atlanta didn't sign Sam Darnold. But I think that the reason why Sam Darnold went to San Francisco for such little money on day one of free agency was I think Darnold was like, look, I've had Adam Gase screw me up. I've had David Tepper screw me up. I'm going to go to San Francisco. I'm going to sit under Shanahan for a year. Then I'm going to go somewhere else where he might be a backup next year to begin the year, but ultimately he'll be in there. And I am convinced that Sam Darnold's career is far from over. I think Sam Darnold is good, and I think that he's got a bunch of talent, and I thought he played really well for the Panthers down the stretch last year, and I think Shanahan is going to get him right.
Jared, speaking of talent, how did the Titans go about unleashing the massive amount of talent that Treylon Burks has to where it manifests itself to more than one catch for 1 yard in the game coming up on Sunday against the Texans?
Well, I think for starters, they need to evaluate why he keeps getting hurt all the time. I mean, if they can figure out how to keep him from getting hurt, that'd be a step in the right direction. I truly believe this about Burks. I think that it might be in the best interest of the Titans. I think it would absolutely be in the best interest of the player for the Titans for him at the end of the year to get a change of scenery. I don't know if Burks doesn't have, you know, the dog inside of him. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's the pressure of being the guy to replace A.J. Brown. I don't know if it's, you know, he was right on his way last year, and then he got decapitated against the Eagles, and then he gets hurt again in training camp, and he's really never been the same guy. I can't tell you what it is or what it isn't, but I do believe that it would not surprise me if he was swapped out with another first-round draft choice who probably hasn't lived up to expectations. And I do think Burks going somewhere where he gets a clean slate, where he's not the guy who replaced A.J. Brown, may be best for him in his career.
Yeah, this sounds like one of those fantasy scenarios. You know, go trade for, you know, fill in the blank. Like I heard you, I think you said yesterday, or whenever I destroyed you again in Jared versus Joe. I can't even, like, how many times in a row?
By the way, I want to state for the record, Gentry Estes texted me unsolicited yesterday morning saying, I usually side with Joe, but you were dead on Jared versus Joe.
Oh,
so take it up with Gentry.
Which part?
I don't know.
But which part, though?
I don't know.
The
you
whole
need to
thing?
Ask him.
Okay. All right, I will ask him. But you brought up Jamison Williams, for example. Like, the Lions would never – like, who out there is going to look at what has happened with Treylon Burks, especially, to your point, the injuries, the multiple concussions, say, yeah, you know what, let's trade our – like, the Lions would never trade Jamison Williams, who has been coming off the knee, and he's very talented for like Treylon Burks. Like, it's not who else would that be? Who, what other like high pick receiver that a team's going to be like, yeah, you take this guy. We'll go ahead and bring Burks in, who can't produce anything and gets hurt all the time.
Well, I mean, hasn't Jameson Williams not produced anything for the Lions?
Right, but again, he's a linear from an ACL, and then yes, it has been slow going for him to, but he still makes like a couple big plays every game for them.
I mean, look, you would know better about that than I would. One guy that I would be fascinated in, and I don't know, I don't think I'd make a one-for-one swap here. Like, I'd have to probably get, like, a fifth in return or something, which is a big pick for you guys because you guys think that, Kevin Byard was traded, it was like the Herschel Walker trade. But
he looks great in Philadelphia, by
the way. He's been amazing. He's all pro, isn't he?
I mean, that great interception that he had against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, I think the Titans would like to have something like that from their secondary. But I continue on with, like Wandale Robinson with the Giants, right? He hasn't produced much either. I think he was a third-round pick out of Kentucky. But I do wonder, I mean, we see a lot of these college players that have been teammates. Now, I'm not saying that Wandale Robinson is Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith or anything like that, but that they've gone and there's a comfort level with their old college quarterback. And a lot of the talk in the draft about why Levis had the season that he had at Kentucky was in large part because – well, Wandale Robinson left for the NFL. And even tweeting about each other or Instagramming about each other or TikTok, I don't know, whatever, about each other both playing on Monday night. I do wonder if it's something like that, right? Where it's like, okay, Wandale Robinson's been kind of a disappointment with the Giants. Treylon Burks has been a disappointment here. Make the move. You pick up Wandale Robinson. Wandale Robinson has a relationship with Will Levis. And nobody is going to sit there and say every time that he doesn't do something that – they traded A.J. Brown for that. And that's, again, there's always going to be guys that are in some sort of a need of a change of scenery for one reason or another. And that's what I'm talking about. To say that there won't be guys this offseason, like Elijah Moore was a guy who got a change of scenery with the Jets sending him to the Browns. Those kind of players, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to Burks. And I don't think it's crazy to think that Burks could benefit from a change of scenery. I mean, Burks the other day got kind of defensive in front of his locker when I forget who it was like, shouldn't you have caught that ball? It had to be Paul. Was like, shouldn't you have caught that ball on the deep ball that they threw? Which I watched the TV replay like seven times. I have no idea if he should have caught that ball or not. I think he probably should have, but I couldn't tell. But it's like he wouldn't get that kind of treatment somewhere where he wasn't the guy who replaced A.J. Brown.
He wouldn't get kind of that treatment when he gets away from the tough national media. Good point. But why would you trade away someone more talented than A.J. Brown? There's so many questions this segment leaves us with. Unfortunately, you can't.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of talented players that don't end up making it. I mean, I Robbie, I know that you remember this era.
I'm sorry, Robbie.
Vince Young was – if you had to rank, like, the most talented Titans of all time, Vince Young has to be, like, in the top five in terms of just pure God-given ability. And they let him go because he threw his pads in the stands and he couldn't read a defense and he went to Cheesecake Factory too much. I mean, it's not just, what
I
is
it? TGI Fridays.
What's that? Was it Fridays or was it Cheesecake Factory?
I thought it was TGI Fridays.
I'm pretty, of all the debating that I do, I think this is the most certain I am. I think it was Cheesecake Factory, but it might have been TGI. Wasn't it like $20,000 shots of some kind of liquor? At Cheesecake Factory or TGI Fridays or whatever. Anywho, just because somebody has talent doesn't mean they're going to make it in the NFL. That's why we see guys that end up making it. You talked about Tom Brady and that you saw him play. And when he was in college, Joe, did he look like one of the most talented quarterbacks you'd ever seen?
No, Kirk Cousins, the same thing, but quarterback in every other position is different in that way. Very different.
I mean, I think that, when it comes to talent, that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's going to be a great player or not a great player. And I keep using Vince Young as the example because Vince Young, and I put the blame 60% on Jeff Fisher, 40% on Vince Young. Vince Young could have been special.
Jared, you've been a trooper this morning. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. I look forward to the rehashing of Vince Young's career coming up from the Texans.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that as well.
See,
Jared
guys.
Stillman, our guest here on the program. Coming up next, we'll have a very quick edition of Call Your Shot Friday before we get to Charles Robinson coming up at 7 o'clock. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means. Shoot your shot. It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday on Robbie and Rex Road, a rapid-fire Call Your Shot Friday. We did not do this last week, Joe, because we were commandeering Stillman's program in the afternoon with Kuharski. So with that in mind, Nick Kieser, kick us off with today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday.
I don't have 30,000 of these, so I'll go fast.
That's good.
Ryan O'Reilly will have a four-point back-to-back weekend for the Nashville Predators. They start things off tonight in Carolina and will play the Capitals tomorrow. So a four-point back-to-back for Ryan O'Reilly altogether. The Titans will walk it off on a game-winning field goal of 40-plus yards on Sunday against the against the Texans. So there you go. Last one quick. Gonzaga beats UConn tonight.
Uh-huh. A little college basketball action in there. Good for you, Kieser. Way to go. Retro's very proud. Joe Rexrode, your called shots for this week.
I just want to make sure. So you're saying Ryan O'Reilly back-to-back 4 points. He's going to get 4 points in both games.
Yeah, he gets a collective four points.
We don't have much time for me to pick apart that as a called shot. I guess that's
Move on, okay, Joe. Four points.
All right.
4 points in two games is a called shot.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
Fine.
Colton Sissons will have a two-goal game against Carolina. That's calling a shot. By golly. Colton Sissons, two goals.
There you go.
Davis Mills will have a tush-push TD from the three. It doesn't really make sense because unless he puts the ball in his mouth, that his neck would help him. But whatever. That's my shout-out to Robbie.
Thank you. Finally,
Derrick Henry will have more than 150 yards and two touchdowns Sunday after this whole week of talking about how he's fading. And look at Tajay Spears. Derrick Henry reasserts himself.
I like that. My called shots tonight. Ryan McDonough will score one goal and will have an assist against the Carolina Hurricanes. One goal, one assist for Ryan McDonough. The goals don't come very often for him, so that qualifies as a call shot. By the way, you can check out a very nice piece that I've done on NHL.com today about Ryan McDonough and his impact on the Nashville Predators. Shameless plug.
There we go. Yeah, I love it.
That's what I'm doing here today on the program. Colton Sissons will win 80% of his faceoffs against the Washington Capitals tomorrow. 80% of his faceoffs, which is a high number. Anybody ever picked a faceoff number on Call Your Shot Friday before? I don't think so, Rex Road.
I believe this is the first time ever. Congratulations.
Davis Mills will throw for 322 yards precisely against the Titans on Sunday in a losing effort. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program. But Davis Mills playing the best he can on Sunday for the Houston Texans and will overextend himself.
322. Now that's calling a shot. You get specific.
And finally, the Titans will run a fake punt and pick up a first down on Sunday. A fake punt for the Titans that will pick up a first down. And we will all be lauding Tom Quinn for the amazing job that he's done as special teams coordinator through 2 weeks. What do you think?
And that'll be a little shout out, a little nod to the past when Byer to Cruikshank.
It will be.
And Mike Vrabel's second game as coach.
By the way, just for clarification, it appears that both Stillman and I were right. It was the Cheesecake Factory and TGI Fridays that Vince Young spent a lot of money at. So there we go.
Like I said, my text to you guys, I just feel bad for Ruby Tuesdays. Why do they get left out of this?
I don't know. It's a great question. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we will be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into all things NFL with him for the next 30 minutes here on the program. Looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.